a revelation. I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality, something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cross.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let me just show you something from the scripture and then we go. Matthew chapter 28. Show me the last three verses. There are two principal ordinances of the church. If the person that is using this language is probably a Roman Catholic, he will probably call it sacrament. But it's not about the name that is used. It is about the meaning that is implied. And in the doctrinally, in the context of meaning, both of them means the same thing. Though, in practice, what people that call it ordinances, in practice, what they do and how they do it is actually different from what the people that call it sacrament do. And I will tell you the reason why some people decided not to call it sacrament anymore. It is because of the fact that there is they conferred on it. I have many Roman Catholics here, but I have to show you Bible. They conferred on it what I will best say for your better understanding, what I can call inherent grace. Inherent grace means that if the priest prays on those elements, instantly we experience what is called transubstantiation. But let me take a little step forward. But these two ordinances, they are in the Roman Catholic Church conferred with a lot of authority. And the reason is obvious. Now the thing is this. When you separate yourself from the instructions, especially the instructions of scripture and the instructions of Jesus, probably because of the abuse that he has suffered over the time, it does not cure you, it does not separate you, exempt you from the consequences of that kind of disobedience. Are you seeing it now? Matthew chapter 28. Is this the last verse? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is what? Given unto me in heaven and where? In heaven and where? In heaven and on where? This power here is not is power, but it will be most best represented as authority. Actually, he said, all power is given. So say after me, authority. Okay, show us verse 19. Go ye therefore, remember I said that it is a matter of authority. Say after me, a matter of authority. Monday touch that. This teaching, this matter is a matter of authority. It is a matter of authority. Never ever forget that. Let me read verse 19 to you again. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, this is post-resurrection. All power is given unto me. All authority is given what? Unto me. All authority is given unto me. In heaven and in earth. You cannot even fathom the exact implication of this. The exact meaning of this statement. It means that there is no possibility of anything getting done in heaven and on earth without passing through the route of his authority. It is a total investment. The whole of heaven divested all their capacities to act in any context. Did you hear what I said? The whole of heaven divested all their capacities to act in any context to him. So from this moment onwards, the Father cannot even act outside of. Are you seeing it? The Holy Ghost too can act. Angels can act. Men of God can act. Are you getting where I'm going? In heaven and on earth. Let me see verse 19. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the reason why I read this place is that you will see, consequent upon the authority that he received, he gave them a direct commandment. Is it not true? He gave them a direct commandment. So that direct commandment that he gave them is the first ordinance, of which some denomination call it sacrament. So that's the first. The ordinance of baptism. Are you with me? Luke chapter 22. So this is the first one. Luke chapter 22 verse 15. Where are you now? Show me that verse you showed me now. Show me on camera. Show. If you are following us online, two things you need now is prepare your communion table. That's where we are going anyway. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Hey! Somebody knows that he wants to go and suffer, and he decided he wants to eat this Passover with him. So you want to go and suffer and you want to eat. Yes, now. Have you watched any American movie and somebody is about to be killed? What is he called? The chair. They want to give you the chair. That was the ultimate penalty. And you know that before you go there, they will ask you what is your favorite meal. That's exactly what is happening here. That was your best meal. You say they cook it for you. Huh? I'm asking what is the favorite meal for people they want to kill. My brother told me noodles, Indomie. Amen. So and all that. So show me verse 16. Verse 16. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom. So he said, after now you will not find me do it. In fact, he's called Last Supper because this is the last thing that Jesus ate before he died. Hello? Aye. Hello? Aye. This is the first thing he ate before he died. And he is not just eating it because he's hungry, but because he wants to lay down something for them. Next verse. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now, this is where it begins to touch you. Let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, ready, go. This is my body, which is... Let's read verse 19 one more time. 1, 2, ready, go. This is my body, which is... Dude. So every single thing you are seeing in this scripture, keep it constant. He said, he took bread, gave thanks, break it, and gave to them, saying, this is what? My body. This is what?
My body.
This is what?
My body.
Which is given for you. Then he now said, this do what? In remembrance of me. So pay attention to this last part. Let's see one more verse. Okay. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the what? So you can call it new covenant. Huh? Which is what? Which is what? Which is what? you will notice that all these things is you words, you words, you words. The body broken for you. Can we find one more verse? Okay, I think it has moved to Judas. Show me 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. Let's join these two together. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Severally, if you have listened to me speak about this, something is striking here. Amongst the 12 that were sitting with Jesus, Paul was not there physically. Am I correct?
Yes.
So at what point did Paul now receive this as a commandment? He said, for I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you. What he received of God, he delivered unto him. This, are you following me now?
Yes,
now, this kills, first of all, the possibility of thinking that that act ends with the 12 that participated in it. Because the necessity of continuing in it was also revealed to Paul, who was not a physical participator of that first activity. Are you getting the point? But God took it upon, Jesus took it upon himself to reveal this to him. And we need to find out why. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Next verse. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you. This do what? Does this sound like what we have read before? Okay, verse 25. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, new covenant. This is an initiation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Remember the scripture where Jesus fed people with bread, 5,000. Am I correct? And then he came after some point and told them that what he has for them now is no more bread and fish. That what he has for them is his and his blood. All of them escaped. They didn't ask him how. What didn't occur to them is that if Jesus actually literally gives them his body, he has to die for him to accomplish that. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So he's trying to communicate something to them. He's trying to tell them that beyond the fact that he gave you something physical to eat, something of him can be communicated by participating in a physical element. That's the point he's trying to do. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Are you getting what I'm saying? Follow me now. I told you people, one of the things you need to understand principally from the scripture is that, never forget this, God's intention is not for a disparity and a differential to be seen between what is spiritual and what is physical. The first time I heard somebody say that and declare that it is one of the fundamental challenges of the church and the interpretation of the scripture found a lot of coloring around that is the man David Pawson. In fact, he has to do a series of teaching that he called degreasing, Greek, degreasing the church, because it is mostly the mythology of Greeks that formed the opinion that there is no possibility of God actually dwelling in the flesh or coming down as low as taking up the form of literal human beings. Now, this is what the Greeks feel, is God is so high that man cannot connect with him. Are you getting the point now? So what they believe in Superman. Are you getting the point now? So they believe that there is nothing connecting man with God, and then there is nothing connecting God with man. That is actually the fundamental shape of the church in many years past. And that is why there is unscriptural preference, authority, and segregation that is conferred upon the priesthood that God did not put in it. The priesthood of the new covenant is something that every believer participates in. This is what you will not hear commonly in the institutional churches. The first thing Jesus did by the shedding of his blood is to bring every believer inside the participation of the priesthood. So priesthood now is not something that a few people do for us. Hello? Priesthood is what the believer becomes as soon as he has accepted Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. He is brought into that priesthood. Of course, this is bound within the boundaries of a covenant. That is why this participation is necessary. Hello, if you have me so far, say amen. Now, Jesus is trying to reveal something. He's trying to show us something. Let me tell you one thing I found out about Jesus. Every avenue through which he can transmit anything that is himself, he always takes advantage of it. And one of the things you will find out from the scripture is that the administration of this of spiritual things, it takes many shapes and it targets many things. There are things that we do from the scripture, it can target physical things around you. There are other things we do, it can target spiritual things around you. It's not as if it can't overflow. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, Jesus is targeting fundamentally physical things. He wants to, within the environment of physical things, trap something that is spiritual. Are you getting the point? He doesn't want them to lose the consciousness of the implication of what he did. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, I'm going to show you something now. He said, "This do ye in remembrance of me." So, if you come to a normal setting of the church that some of us had, you know, before, one of the things you find out is that you will have a very big man of God, and then a member that cannot access God by himself except he passes through that man of God, of which you cannot find it like that in the scripture. Are you getting what I'm saying now? What God, by the blood, all of us have access unto the Father. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It means that technically, in a strict scriptural and spiritual sense, there is nothing like grandfather spiritually. There is nothing like that. All of us are connected to the Father. He's Father, Son. There's nothing else. This one we do. We say, "My Father in the Lord." You now call me my Father. Is in the context of ministry and calling. It is not by your relationship with God. Anything that stands between your relationship with God that is not Christ, that thing has become an idol. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Including even if it's me, God forbid for me to stand. My job is to reveal the scripture to you. I'm not afraid of you touching God in however depth you want to touch him. Are you with me? If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. So the job now, so what they did is, if God is far and man is very low, let's create a superman in between. So if you watch many Greek mythologies, you will see people like Achilles, Hercules, all those kind of stuff and all that. They are trying to create a superman who has the ability to trap. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That is not God's desire. God is not afraid of coming down to your level. He wants you to accommodate him so that he can live in you. There is no special person. The way he came into your heart is the way he came into my heart. Are you getting the point? You are not special, and he came, and I'm not special. So what you do with what God has bestowed in your heart through Jesus, through the name of Jesus, is what makes the difference, not necessarily who I am or whatever. Are you following me now? Mm-hmm. Let me read a few more verses. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show. Are you marking things here? Ye do show the Lord's death till he what? Comes. Ooh. Next verse. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Next verse. I remember when we were younger in church, they told us that, you know, what it means to drink this cup and unworthily is if you have sin. And some of you have been told others, so you need to, you know, clean up yourself and all that. Ah. It's not even here that we are reading. I want to show you why. The real thing you need to clean yourself up from, they don't even talk about it that time. Because there are things that when you participate in the communion table, there are things it does. And I need to show you from the scripture here, there are three principal things it does. But let me finish reading. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Next verse. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What's the problem of this person? What's his problem? So he lacks the ability to discern the Lord's body. He lacks the ability to what? Discern the consequences that is hitherto listed is based on the fact that he lacks the ability to discern the Lord's body. To discern, he is suffering because he lacks the ability to discern the Lord's body. Hey! For we to teach discerning of the Lord's bodies is a very big thing. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest revelations that Jesus Christ brought to us in this faith that we have, in this new covenant, is the revelation of the body. In fact, we didn't know that this is part of the mystery that God captured in his heart. He is looking for a vessel that have the ability to host him in this physical realm. Remember the Bible said in the book of John chapter 4 that God is spirit. Am I correct? God is spirit. Meanwhile, we are in a physical world. So, and God fully wants to be represented in his full effulgence here. But he is spirit. Are you getting the point? Now you have the ability to execute that for God because you are spirit, soul, and body. So in your spirit you make contact with him, and through your body you manifest what you have contacted. Are you getting the point now? So man becomes the prime instrument and the vessel. Now, unfortunately, God's intention is not to function through individuals. His desire is to have a company of people that captures the rainbow of his glory. Are you getting the point now? Uh-huh. So that was his intention. And because of that, he began to look for a people that can host him. That call that people that have the seal of the name of God, the name of Jesus upon them, that has become the vessels through which God will manifest, rule, influence the physical realm, govern the physical realm, is now called the church. The church is the called out, the ecclesia, the called out. Are you getting the point now? So that called out is also the body of Christ. So are you getting the point now? Whilst we look at it as if we join the church, it looks as if from God's perspective, it's another way, it's the other way around. That God cut out a portion of himself. Are you following now? So the mystery of the body is one of the greatest mysteries. Because the body of the Christ, you know, if four of us gather like this, the body of Christ is not made up of just gathering, just people gathered and the body of Christ existed. No. The reason why people gather is because there is a possibility to gather under a name. So Jesus gave us that head, which is the name, under which, are you getting what I'm saying, Justice? He gave us the head, which is the name, under which we gather. The absence of which there is no possibility, any other gathering outside of this context cannot form a body. We need a head. Are you getting the point?
So what Jesus came to do is to bring us in contact with the head, which is authority. So every man that is born again comes. That's why when you are born again, they say, I accept Jesus as my personal Lord. That word Lord means you are submitting under a lordship. You are submitting under a name. You are submitting under a head. Are you getting the point? That connection is an inclusion into the body, not the creating of the body. Because the creating of the body is a totally sovereign act of the heavens. We were included in it. That is why the body is fundamentally mystical. That means that somebody in another denomination, in another nation, is part of the body of Christ, and I've never met the person. And it is a valid thing in the spirit. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
And of course, you know that it also means that we can be physically together in a congregation, and one or two of us is not part of the body of Christ. So just simply because you are going to church and you are registered in a denomination or congregation doesn't make you a part of the body. If you are with me so far, say amen. Let's see the next verse. For this cause many are what?
Weak.
And sickly among you. And many what? That word sleep is actually die. It's just that the apostles, fundamental apostles, they edited their language, and they never want to mention the word death. Anytime there is anything like that, they cut it off and call it sleep. If you hear the apostles mention death, it is never physical. Just study the scripture. Anytime they use death, especially when it concerns them, they don't use the word death in a physical sense. Because they don't believe that they don't believe in death. They don't believe that they will die. Jesus told them, so why should they die? Jesus told them, you can't die. Anybody that believes in me will not die. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
so that's it. On that, so they cause this sleep. And when they sleep, on the last day, they are waken up from the sleep. That is what resurrection is. Next verse. Do I have one more verse? For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be what?
Judged.
Next verse. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So let me say two things as we go. From this text and the supporting text, it is clear, number one, that the first desire of Jesus in setting up this communion table is to bring witness. Say after me, to bring witness. I didn't hear you. Say after me, to bring witness. I didn't hear you. Let's say it together. One, two, ready, go. Let's say it again. One, two, ready, go. Okay, first witness that the communion table brings is the witness of the memory of Jesus. The witness of his memory. I'm not the one saying it is in the scripture. The Bible said in the book of Luke chapter 22, where we read, he said, do this in remembrance of what? In remembrance of what?
Me.
Now, I know that when you say in remembrance of me, you will say, who has forgotten Jesus? I want to ask, is it only human beings that were aware that Jesus actually suffered and died? If it is only human beings, then you can't cast out any devil. Demons, devils, altars, and even men in every generation have to be aware of what happened. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So when you come to the communion table and you participate in it, they actually say that this one now is Jesus that told us to do it. We remember him by this. The way you celebrate communion is the way you should be celebrating your Christmas. I put it to you, my brother. This one is what more. This is the one Jesus did not even command us to celebrate Christmas. We just decided to be celebrating it. This one, he told us, if there is a celebration that we should be doing, this is one of it. He said, celebrate so that when people ask you, say, it's Jesus that we are remembering today. He said, do it as often as possible. When you do it, you are bringing witness. That witness is the witness of memory. It keeps afresh in the mind of people that Jesus is ever present in our midst. That Jesus is the reason why we gathered. That Jesus is the one that died for us. That Jesus is real. Because the day will come where it looks as if this Jesus thing is mystical. You know what it means? It's somewhere. Have you not thought about it sometime? I know you will think about it. You just, are we being deceived? Where is he, Jesus? If you are, let me touch you. He said, when you do this, you are trying to represent that Jesus is actually beyond the fact that it is taught in the scripture. He is actually a physical person. Let me tell you. In remembrance of him, it's not just... are you following me, Justice? It's not just in remembrance of Christ Jesus as the Christ, the one that is doing all the labors of administration in the kingdom. When we say in remembrance of him, we also say in remembrance of Jesus the person. Have you read the book of Isaiah chapter 53? The scripture went to some point. He said, who shall speak about his generation? Why? Because he was cut off. Remember, this thing happened before he was about to die. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, let me explain it to you. Like, let's say Reverend Father now came and labored maybe around this area. Labored. The reason why I use the Reverend Father is that they don't marry. Am I correct? That means if the person dies, that's the end of his generation. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is trying to show you. He said, when you celebrate communion, you are trying to tell people, though I did not marry and I did not have descendants that we keep talking about me, the celebration of communion is another avenue to celebrate, is a memorial service. The way children celebrate their father's memorial service. Are you following now? People ask you, what are you people doing? He said, don't you know? Even though this man doesn't have descendants, we have become his descendants. Number two witness. Of course, it's here in the scripture. The witness of his death. Show me the verse. Either in Luke or in 1 Corinthians 11. Show me, Felicia, show me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this... Let's read verse 26 together. 1, 2, ready, go. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, what do you show? What do you show? What do you show? What do you show? I hope you know that this is one of the most significant things about our faith, the Lord's death. I'm not saying that's the end. Of course, there is resurrection. But the Lord's death, it is the person that has died that we resurrect. Let me tell you something about death. Don't sleep. Death is the end of an era. Hello? Now, no matter what, Justice, listen to me. What if you are called to teach this thing tomorrow? Death is an end of an era. Are you getting the point? So no matter how much Jesus did ministry and the enormity of his ministry, if he did not die, he will not have the opportunity to put an end to an era. And in this context, the era we mean is the era that the first man represented. The era that sin represented. The era that the flesh, what? Represented. So the scripture said in the book of Hebrews, he said, through death, he was able to defeat him that have the power of death. So he needed there, it is fundamental. In fact, he came to a point, he asked his father a question. He said, is there no other way? There is no other way to meet Satan face to face, headlong, except by what? Death is the pathway. There is no other way to judge sin, judge the flesh, cut off our communication and contact with the old man, except by death. So he needed to die. So anytime you participate in this communion, you are trying to say, Jesus actually died and ended the race of men that are subject to mortality, subject to sin. Men that came from Adam, he took that death for it to be established. When you are taking communion, it's like somebody going to a burial service. You are going to a burial service. That's what you are going to. Are you getting it? So anytime you do this, you are signifying, you are showing. He said, you do show. Show to who? Do you know that Satan doesn't believe that Jesus has died? He paid them. He did all manner of things. Even if he has died, he doesn't believe he has died for you. Because if he believes it, there are many things he can't do to you. Now, some of you don't know what it means for somebody to acknowledge something. In the spirit, to acknowledge something is like acceptance. Huh? It's like a posture. It is a real thing. If I say I possess knowledge in the spirit, that knowledge is not information, it's an ability. Whilst you are thinking that I show the Lord's death and they now know. No. Their knowing is not an information because they have already had that information. When you show this, it is not an information to the power of darkness or Satan or to the world or to the flesh. It is actually it's like you are forming the same implication. When Jesus died, you remember when he died? The Bible said that his blood touched the ground. What happened to the ground? Even the centurion, the people that want to kill him, they looked at him and said, this man must be a great man. The same blood touched your lips. Your body should shout and say, this man must be what? A great man. The same body entered your mouth. The same one that shook the ground. He must be a great man. Are you with me? The whole ground could not contain the impact of the blood. They say, take the communion. Anytime you take it, ground shake. Including the ground of your family. Your foundations. They are not aware. Keep reminding them. You have not reminded them enough. I'm telling you now. This afternoon, let the ground shake. You don't know what this thing means. That's why people have trifled with it. The same impact he had. Even the elements of this earth could not withstand the implication of the death of the Son of God. Huh? A man of God said that somebody died and they brought the person to him. He didn't know what to do. When he prayed, God said, serve him communion. Somebody that has totally died took communion, opened his mouth. As soon as he served him, the spirit of death left and shook, broke glasses and left, and the person stood up. That's what we are talking about. If the ground shook when the blood touched the ground, why is your body remaining the same? I say, and I believe it. The greatest place that the blood has impact, it has impact in two dimensions, mostly from the scripture. It has impact from where we are reading here. It has impact on the physical bodies of men, and it has impact in the fellowship and relationship between two believers. According to this scripture, now you seen it, Kings, because he said, if you do not discern the body, there are consequences. And the body now is beyond the physical body. It is the holy assembly of believers. If you do not discern that body, there is a consequence. That means the person that participates in Holy Communion is trying to reestablish the communion. The communion is the fellowship of the body. The fellowship of the body of Christ. You are trying to fellowship with Christ. Unfortunately, you can't fellowship with Christ in isolation. You fellowship with Christ in consonance with the body. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
Christ is now represented in that body. So, and you are not the only one that is part of the body of Christ. He is. So this is what it means to take it onwardly. You are an enemy to this person. Unforgiveness, bitterness. And then you came and then other unholy practices. In fact, the number one sin is lack of revelation of what you are trying to participate in. Because it takes a lot to discern the body of the Lord. The Lord's body. So I've mentioned number two. Am I correct? Number three, of course, the witness of his body. You heard where we read in the book of Luke chapter 22, my brother. He said, this is my body, what? Broken. Even in book of 1 Corinthians 11. Said, this is my body that is broken for you. Come and sit here. Untouchable. Stand now. You can stand. Come and sit. The untouchable man. The unapproachable man. I heard you have been approached now. Amen.
Amen.
So the third witness is the witness of the body. You know, this thing that is called the body of Christ is one of the hardest things to actually understand. Is one of the hardest things to actually discern. The reason is because we mostly judge things in a physical sense. It takes a lot for us to come into the economy of the revelation of the body of Christ. And in a physical, literal sense, the communion table brings us to that consciousness again. Are you getting the point? Anytime we participate in the communion table, it brings us to the consciousness of the fact that we are actually coming in contact with the body of Christ. Because mostly if I ask you what is the body of Christ, you say it's the church. It's the church. One, now because we talk about the body of Christ and all that, the body and all that, many people has called what is not the body of Christ the body of Christ. As I will show you the third one. Let me add, after witness, the second purpose I found out from the scripture is actually judgment. Let me tell you why I'm saying this. In the pure apostolic sense, if a believer that is not acting and behaving the way he should in relation with the body, and an unbeliever partakes in the communion table, there is literal physical consequences, as the Bible showed you. Is it not true? He said, what happens is that some will what? Be sick and be weak, and some will what? Die. In fact, I think this is where it means that you need to examine yourself. Actually, it is true. Let me tell you. Let me explain more. Did you know that Judas had a plan? But Satan did not enter him until after that communion table. So what communion table does, it protects the integrity of the body. The body is a whole indivisible element. If you are in, you are in. If you are out, you are out. So what it does, when you participate in the communion, it judges out people that are not organically part of us. And Satan takes his property. So it is in this sense that Bible, Paul was warning. He said, don't participate in some... Are you getting the point now? We never knew. The man has been hatching it, has been doing some things when he participated in it. The demon that will help him to achieve that entered immediately. Because the body does not allow that kind of mixture. You came in contact, in fellowship with the body by the communion. You are trying to bring a mixture. And judgment by God is not just for the sake of trying to afflict people. No. Judgment is an attempt to separate, to sort out. Are you seeing it? Separate. We needed to show that there are false brethren, false. Are you getting it? People that once you participate in the communion, it becomes obvious. So this is what this is what this scripture means. Let me tell you what it means literally. It means that if we come like this, if you have 20 in a pure apostolic setting, you have 20 people and you are suspecting that one of you is demonized, that Satan is using one of you, that something is happening. Are you getting what I'm saying? Come together, cry together, bring our communion, serve. What will happen after that? You are not with me. What will happen after that time is either some become sick, some die, or something will happen to them as a judgment instantly. Are you seeing it? That's why the Bible says, don't try this on what the, that's what he's trying to say. In fact, one of the things that this is why, if you understand this, this is why you should be careful what you actually do to your brother that two of you are bound together. That means if you call me brother and do some things, there are consequences that comes. Death comes immediately. It might not, you might not die physically, but something will die. And some people, they lose their ministry. They lose the anointing. They lose something. You don't know. If you share communion together, let's say in Betterama, you share communion together. Huh? If the first thing you will notice is that once you share communion, and it's true, of course it's true, it doesn't need to be too big. Some things will come alive and some things will die. Literally. So you notice that after communion, instead of you becoming healthy, you became sick. You need to examine what? Yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. Some people became sick at the instance of participating in communion. They were healthy, took communion, became sick. Others took communion, became well. Are you blessed now?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm saying what is interesting you now. So that's the mystery of the body. Jesus uses communion as a witness, as a judgment, not witness now. It is a tool of judging and purging the fellowship between brethren. Between, are you getting the point now? So if somebody is trying to betray the integrity within, what you do, serve communion, it will be revealed. So if you are a pastor, a leader, or someone, and you feel that Satan is hanging out, you don't know. It's possible that the person Satan wants to use doesn't even know. Huh? Come together, cry together like this, serve communion. The thing will stir up. So sometimes after serving communion, and you notice that some people and some things will be reacting through people. It's communion that is reacting organically through those people. They cannot stand the unity that is now bound up in the spirit. The total representation of what that fellowship in the body that is captured in the communion means for each person. So whilst it is saving others in their body, remember the scripture said that the target is to make sure that you are not damned like the world. Meanwhile, physically, something will happen to you as a sign to you that you have slipped up from fellowship. Are you getting the point? In fact, if you suspect... That's why when that woman appeared before Peter, Peter asked the man and the woman, he asked them again, are you sure? Are you sure? Sometimes, pastor, if you look at some things like this and you don't know, you need to teach them to examine themselves. Because if they participate like that, you see, you half of your member will become sick. Instead of binding them in healing, they become sick. Some of them will even be at the inch of death. Meanwhile, that is the same thing that cuts off death. When communion is done properly in the name, death cannot pass through. It is standing upon a covenant. There is a divide. We call it the bloodline. Are you seeing it now? In communion table, something happens that invokes the body. It brings you into a literal participation. In that one moment, you can touch the strength of your neighbor. Let me tell you why we speak about the body like this. You know why? Even in a local representation of the body, all the investment that God needs to power his agenda is represented there. You know what it means? Whatever you need is somewhere around. At every instance of partaking in the communion, something somewhere in this place that you need, you partake of it. Second one is what? You are correct. Third one, as we round up. The third one is exemption. 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 You have known everything, Jewel. You know the right again. I want to be like you. You have written exemption. After me, exemption. I want to say it clear and clear. If you are a believer and you are taking too much drug, something is wrong. Something is totally wrong. I know the reason why I said too much drug and I didn't say drug altogether, because you know sometimes your faith can be weak and your understanding can be weak. But if you live by drug as a believer, so you need to do something about it urgently. Something is wrong. I have something I need to tell people that they are not aware. The Bible said you should serve God with this your body. Actually, do you know? Because God is spirit. Literally, the most important thing you offer God is a body. A body that meets up his expectation. And for a body to meet up his expectation, two things. There are two ways to present this your body. It's not just the holiness. You need to present it healthy. Sometimes you present it healthy. What is the use of a body that is impotent, lying on a bed, can't do anything? Say you are holy. That's not God's plan. That kind of body cannot serve anything for God. It cannot do anything for God. You can't present God a weak body. You can't move your hand. Your hand, you have injury. The hand, it has been like that for the last 3 years. That's not God's plan. Are you getting the point? You can't fast. If you fast, ulcer will kill you. You can't. That's not God's plan. Are you getting the point? You can't do night vision. If you try to do night vision, or they call kriambawis and all that. That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. You need your body. After me, I need my body. I don't like the way some of you don't know how serious what I'm saying is. After me, I need my body for my assignment on earth. Why not? Let's improve on it. Say after me, I need my body healthy.
I need my body healthy.
For my assignment on earth.
For my assignment on earth.
Let's say it 3 times. 1, 2, ready, go.
I need my body healthy. For my assignment on earth.
Again.
I need my body healthy. For my assignment on earth.
Again.
I need my body healthy. For my assignment on earth.
Let's add it 2 more times. 1, 2, ready, go.
I need my body healthy for my assignment on earth.
You can't be sick the same way unbelievers are sick. What then do you have as an inheritance in Christ? Something must exempt you. Epidemic is raging everywhere. It's caught you too. There has to be an exemption. Are you getting the point? That's how it happens. Communion is like that incense that Aaron took and came. Everybody was dying. He came. He told Aaron, run, bring that incense and divide between the dead and the living. When a man comes like this, it's a division. I told you now, he's representing dead. It's a death that we were divided totally. When you participate here, you are dividing yourself from what connects you with all the nyama sickness of your lineage and all the curses and all that. You are saying, I'm different. Sometimes situations will try to lie. Your body will try to lie. When you participate in communion, you are reminding your body where it should be. You are reminding your body who you are. You are using a physical. Are you following me? I told somebody to take communion. Somebody is swapping it and he took it. He said nothing happened. I said, and so? Pray again, take it again. Pray again, take it again. I know what I'm telling you. When you do it, sometimes do it every day until it stops. Somebody said, this one. somebody asked me some things. I told him, okay, this one is spiritual warfare. You need to conquer it like this. But for the meantime, you need to activate the law of exemption. Aside prayer, do this. He said that succubus comes to molest him. I said, what you need to do is, once you finish night prayer, take communion. Once you take communion, you are drawing the line. I'm telling you, try it. You might not have dealt with that thing permanently. It will take prayer and some things to deal with it. But for that moment, that night, it will not trouble you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You get to a crusade gang, you get to a place, you are tired, you are sick, you don't know what to do, and all that. Bless that communion. Take it first. Take it. You divide and declare that you are different. Somebody came and did it. He did it, and then the succubus came again. I said, and so what? Do it again. He said, he came back, and so what? What will you do?
Do it again.
And then what will you do again?
You do it again.
After that time, what will you do?
You do it again.
Then after then, you do what?
You do it again.
Then after then, what will you finally do?
You do it again.
After finally, what will you do?
You do it again.
Part of the reason why it can take a little longer is because you are convincing yourself of something. It's already objective. You are not convincing. God already knows. Everybody knows. You are the one that doesn't know. They are bringing you actively into the revelation, into the understanding, into the participation. Keep hitting it. Keep hitting it. Keep hitting it. If you enter into the full revelation, it will not just work for you. If you tell anybody to do it, it works for them. It will be like you are Mama Holy Communion. Because anybody you serve gets it. Oh man, Abu, Skif, Fanahaka, Jetepo, Kahamba. Yes, now, whatever you handle, if you give it to people, it works. Pray in tongues for 1 minute.
On the cross there is love for me. Yes, it's for me. On the hill there's a cross. On the cross there is blood for me. Yes. The blood is for me. On the hill.
there is a cross. On the cross, there is blood for me. For me. On the hill, there is a cross. On the cross, there is blood for me.
Yes,
for me. On the hill, there is a cross. On the cross, there is blood for me. For me. On the hill, there is a cross. On the cross, there is blood for me.
Yes,
for me. On the hill, there is a cross. On the cross, there is blood for me.
Whatever you want it to mean for you, it will mean.
On the hill.
On the hill, there's a cross. On the cross, there is love for me.
For me.
On the hill.
On the hill, there is a cross.
On the cross, there is love
for me.
For me.
For me.
On the hill.
On the hill. There is a cross. On the cross. There is blood. For me.
For me.
For me.
Yes, on the hill.
On the hill. There is a cross. On the cross. There is blood for me.
Yes, for me.
For me. On the hill.
On the hill. There is a cross. On the cross. There is blood for me. Yes, for me.
For me.
On the hill.
Pastor Joshua.
There is a cross.
On the cross, there is blood for me.
Yes, for me.
For me.
On the hill.
On the hill, there is a cross. On the cross, there is blood.
The blood is for me. The blood is for me.
For me.
Oh, on the hill.
On the hill. There is a cross.
Where is justice?
Oh, on the cross. There is blood
for me.
Oh, for me.
For me.
Yes, on the hill.
On the hill. There is a cross. On the cross, there is blood for me.
Where is Anthony?
Yes,
for me.
Oh, on the hill.
On the hill, there is a cross.
On the cross,
are we ready?
There is blood.
Oh,
to happen. Mighty miracles.
I see the blood.
Jesus.
Oh, I see the heal.
Listen. Some of you, as you participate, even people following us online, I believe you are ready. Some people will be baptized. This prayer grace, they will be baptized. Baptized in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of groanings and travails. They will be baptized. Anything you want, it will become for you. That's what I'm saying. People will receive tremendous miracles. They will receive signs and wonders. Not just in your physical body, everything around you. By the time you are going, mighty deliverance has happened. An iroko has been uprooted that is obstructing you. Father, we bless this communion table in the name of Jesus Christ. And we decree in the name of our Lord. And by this prayer, let it be consecrated. Let the content of these containers represent indeed the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ to us, with all its implications and potency to us as individuals, to us as the corporate body, ministering to our spirit, soul, and body, ministering to issues around our life. Lord, we ask, let not one person that come to this table remain the same. Let not one person that come to this table remain the same. Let not one person that come to this table remain the same. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
There is blood for me. Yes, it's for me. On the hill, there's a cross. On the cross, there is blood for me. Yes, for me. On the hill.
to be faster. These two lines, you need to be faster. Those guys, they are fast enough.
This body
on the hill, there is a cross on the cross.
Who is Usher directing them here? You need to move them fast. Usher, come and move them. Gloria, well done.
Oh,
the work of God complete in your life.
Yes, for me.
For me.
I see the cross. I see the blood. I see the cross. I see the blood. I see the blood. I see the blood.
I give you a prophetic push to the next level. I give you a push in the name of Jesus. I give you a push in the name of Jesus. I give you a push in the name of Jesus. Frustration, hardship, suffering that demons and devils have orchestrated around your life and family. Tonight we punish it in the name of Jesus. We punish it in the name of Jesus. We punish it in the name of Jesus. Evil ordinance over your life. We overturn it. 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 In the name of Jesus. From this mountain, we declare you blessed in the name of Jesus. These 15 days, we declare you blessed in the name of Jesus. Even the people following us online, this is your moment. On the hills, on the cross, there is love for me. What you are not able to do before, what you are not able to do before, you will begin to do it now in the name of Jesus. I say you will begin to do it now in the name of Jesus. Let the God that I serve answer your prayers. I say let the God that I serve answer your prayers. Let the God that I serve answer your prayers. Let the God that I serve answer your prayers. In the name of Jesus. From this mountain, whatever request and answer you seek, we release it for you now. We release it for you now. We release it for you now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, your amen need to be louder. Answers. The God that answers prayers. The God that answers prayers. The God that answers prayers, answer you now. The God that answers prayers, answer you now. Answer you now. Answer you now. In the name of Jesus. From this mountain, we send you forth with an empowerment that conquers oppositions. Let every opposition in your way be leveled. 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 In the name of Jesus. Whatsoever be the reason why you came here, the Lord I serve grant it to you in the name of Jesus. I said, the Lord I serve grant it to you in the name of Jesus. The God that never fails, never disappoints. The God that promised and is able to cause his promises to come to pass. In the name of our Lord Jesus, from the horn of the altar, I release your requests as answers, as miracles, as signs, as wonders, as breakthroughs, as open doors, as empowerments, in the name of Jesus. Let the blessing of Shalom come upon your life. Nothing missing, nothing broken. 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 No power will be able to overturn your testimony. No power will be able to overturn your miracle. No power will be able to cut short your testimony. In the name of Jesus. Even that which looks impossible, the Lord said, I should tell you he will do it. We release businesses. We release contracts. We release marriages. We release healings. We release deliverances. Oh my God. Every issue that has lasted too long in your life and family, I say, let there be a turnaround. 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 In the name of Jesus. As you are stepping out here, you are stepping into your new level. You are stepping into your blessings. You are stepping into your lifting. You are stepping into your miracle. You are stepping into glory. You are stepping into higher grace. You are stepping into higher power. In the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, can you be seated in your... Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap now. Chine Melum, clap. You can be seated.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Udechukwu, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Udechukwu. God bless you.